Welcome along, everyone, to the Rugby Pass podcast. Today, Thursday, the 7th of July, as we look ahead to the penultimate round of Super Rugby 2016. Scotty Stevenson with you, as always, and joining us on the rotation this week, Mark Stafford of the New Zealand TAB, a man who knows his code. And Staffy, you've long said this, Lions to host a final. Anything to change your mind?
Nothing at all. I think they will finish top, but to win the title, they are going to have to beat two New Zealand sides, my mathematics tells me, albeit in South Africa. But I think one of the New Zealand sides is more than capable than going to the Republic and beating the Lions. But what a season by them.
It has been a great season. There's been a lot of criticism about the perceived weakness of the South African conferences. In fact, I don't think you can call it perceived. It is a weakness of the South African conferences. But the one thing I will say about the Lions is they've had to play four New Zealand teams and they've had some good victories as well. I don't think anyone could question their worthiness of being top of the table.
Not at all. They've had the hardest road of the South African sides and they're on top. So you've got to stand and applaud them. They play a different style to all of the other South African sides. We don't have a mortgage on it, but it's closest to the New Zealand style. I think Warren Whiteley, their captain, they've got the best forward in the competition. They're just a complete side for me and they deserve to be on top of the tree. I don't like these people saying they've had an easy run because they haven't.
Yeah, it's interesting you point out Warren Whiteley. He wasn't even playing last week in a real crunch match. That was a quarterfinal decider, really, between the Lions and the Sharks. No Whiteley at all. So they've also built some serious depth and that's going to keep them in good stead.
It really does. And it's great to see a team that's, you know, if they did go on and win a title, it's going to be their first one. And we're used to sort of seeing the same two or three teams top the charts. And they're a welcome addition and they're going to be a tough opponent for anyone.
What about the rest of that South African conference? Because it has been, let's say, underwhelming. The Storm is likely to get up now that the Bulls have blown their chance against the Jaguares last week. And the Sharks are still hovering around on that third place wildcard spot. It would be amazing to see the Sharks in the quarterfinals, though. If it was to be played today, the Lions would play the Sharks in the quarterfinal. Thus, to me, negating the whole idea of home advantage for three South African teams anyway.
Yeah. I don't know that the Sharks are going to make it myself. I've got the Stormers making it and four New Zealand sides and an Aussie. But I just feel like the Lions are just far and away better than those other two South African sides who just keep reverting to type. And how many titles has that won them in recent years? None. They haven't made changes. The Lions have made changes and the changes are bearing fruit. And I hope the South African sides learn a lesson from that.
So the Stormers and the Lions for you will be the conference winners. Staffy, it's going to come down. They've got one other team in the playoff mix. They have to by virtue of the way the competition's set up. Is that going to be the Bulls or is that going to be the Sharks?
Well, it's a bit of a lottery. I'm going to swing slightly towards the Bulls. I think they've got better finishing power. I know they were a bit of a dog's breakfast last week, but I think the conditions and the travel just sorted them completely out, and they should get back on their ship. I'd rather see the Bulls in there. I think they are more of a title threat, even though I don't think they're much of one. I think they're about a 5% chance. The other South African sides are about a 2.
Yeah. Look, the thing for the Bulls is they play the Jaguares side and didn't play any rugby. We've said all year that when the Bulls actually play rugby, they don't look too bad. But once again, it was a kickathon from the Bulls in that game, and the kicking was appalling, the kick chasing was appalling, and it was actually the Jaguares who probably played their best game of the year. A little bit too little, too late for the Jaguares to give them any credence for you?
Yeah, it seemed to take the international window for them to wake up, maybe. I don't know what happened for them. You know, they played quite well against France. They did get dogged in one of the matches, but maybe just putting on their national colours taught them how to play rugby for each other, because they've just been a team that have been loose cannons that don't play as a team. They finally put it all together last week, and I agree, they looked really good. The Bulls looked like they were in their first pre-season match. I don't know what was going on with them.
No, I'm with you, Staff. Look, let's wrap up the South African Conference here. We know that there was the inclusion of the Sunwolves and the Kings this year. The Sunwolves have really gone off the boil, but we knew they would. They had a two-week pre-season, and you just can't play code over a four-month period when you've had 2 weeks conditioning at the start of the year. The Kings, on the other hand, were riven with political issues before the season, and they're probably showing the effects of that as well. If you had to take your pick for the most disappointing newcomer out of the Jaguares, the Sunwolves, and the Kings, where are you going?
I'd have to say the most disappointing would be the Jaguares. I mean, the Kings, the Kings and the Sunwolves have had their excuses. I think the Sunwolves have been really brave. You do not watch a disappointing Sunwolves game. They just try their guts out. And I absolutely applaud that. The Kings, God knows why South Africa fought so hard to get an extra side in there, and then they just tip them out to hang. You know, they just have offer no support. But the Hawaris, off a semi-final spot in the World Cup, the Argentinian side, so much was thought of them to actually test some sides, but they've just fallen away. I've been waiting all year for them to come right, and it just hasn't happened, except for last week. So, yeah, I think they're clearly the most disappointing.
All right, let's go game by game this week, Staff. The Blues will take on the Brumbies at Eden Park. They've won 6 of their last 8 against the Brumbies at Eden Park. They won last year 16-14. It was a close match. Gee, it was a terrible game as well. The Blues have made it public that they want to finish the season on a high. The Brumbies now in a death match with the Waratahs for the Australian Conference victory. Where do you see this one playing out? Because it's so important for the Brumbies to win this game.
Incredibly important for the Brumbies, but I feel like over sort of the last 4 or 5 games of Super Rugby for the Blues, they've improved by about 10% per game. And they always talk about these teams that are going to be spoilers, and they could really spoil the Brumbies' chances. I know they've got so much to play for, and Australians usually respond quite well to pressure like that, but I'm going to lean slightly towards the Blues. I mean, I'm really excited for the Blues for the next 2 or 3 years. The signings they've made, you know, for the next couple of 3 years, that won't help them this week, though. But just good signs from that first half against the Hurricanes last week was outstanding. Every game, they are getting better. And if they take a step up again from the Hurricanes last week, I think they'll be too good for the Brumbies.
What do we make of this Brumbies side? Because after starting off with a hiss and a roar, I think they put together, 5 straight victories. Then they had a real dull patch through that May month where they just didn't look the same, where they couldn't score tries any other way but through a line-out drive. Suddenly last week, and granted it was the Reds, but gee, they look balanced. They look great with Lealofano and Tamua together. Their full pack operated really well. Their set piece was good. Are the Brumbies peaking at the right time?
Yeah, I think this is a big, for them as much as the Blues, that this is a big marker for the rest of their season. You're right, you measured their season really well. At the start, everyone was saying, okay, so it's the Brumbies and who in the final?
Yeah.
That's how good they looked. And boy, did they dip from grace. And I think what it showed was when they have injuries to key players, they haven't been able to rally around. They don't have the squad depth of the New Zealand sides, and they just haven't got the cattle to call on. When they get all their players back, they're a fine side. And if they play their patterned Brumby-type rugby, they're a huge task for the Blues. So this is massive for them because I see the Waratahs shading them on ability at the moment and just recent form. But they could turn that round against the Blues.
I'm totally with you on that, Staff, and I still think the Waratahs might find a way to sneak in. We move to Brisbane on Friday night, straight after that Blues-Brumbies clash. The Reds will host the Chiefs. Chiefs resting a couple of big names, but also Liam Messam straight back into the fold, and Sam Kane playing at number 8. Any other team, you'd probably wonder what the Chiefs were up to, but the Reds surely have fired every shot they're going to fire this season.
Yeah, they've had a couple of good games, haven't they? But the Chiefs continually show, I talk about squad depth, they are incredible. They could play forwards in the back line and still be a wonderful cohesive unit. They're just going to be too good for the Reds. They're too disciplined, they're too complete, and you could see a big score from the Chiefs here.
We're going to come down to bonus points at some stage in this playoff mix. So the Lions will take on the Kings, another Friday night game, that in Johannesburg. The Lions would shape as easy bonus point victory here. If they get that bonus point victory and the Chiefs fail, that gap widens once more. So this is a box seat match for the Lions, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is. And, you know, I'd be surprised if they didn't put 40 points on the Kings and comfortably get their bonus point. And so it's all onto the Chiefs to get theirs. I mean, the Reds are good enough to score a couple of tries, which means the Chiefs are going to have to score 5. A lot easier task to get the bonus point for the Lions and the Chiefs this weekend.
Crusaders take on the Rebels, and the Crusaders, gee, they were dark after Fiji, mate. They were absolutely ropeable in the sheds after that game. They're going to take on the Rebels, who are decimated with injury at the moment. So you'd expect the Crusaders, having 2 games at home, although granted their last game's going to be a tough local derby against the Canes, but things are shaping up pretty well for a Crusaders late surge here. A bonus point against the Rebels, then a win against the Hurricanes, and they could still find themselves top of the table.
Yeah, the Crusaders bounce back as well as anyone from disappointment. They are going to play this game like there is one raspberry turnover left in the tuck shop, and they are going to do whatever they can to get it. And they will absolutely destroy the Rebels in Christchurch.
Well, that's what they'll be hoping. Look, game of the round for me, Steph. No doubt about this. Waratahs taking on the Hurricanes on a Saturday night in Sydney. This is the Tars season on the line right here. And for the Hurricanes, this is a chance to guarantee themselves a playoff spot. So both teams with their playoff hopes on the line.
Yeah, this is the hardest game of the round to pick, I think. The Waratahs have looked pretty damn good in recent times. They've really, I think I mentioned it last time I was on the show, that Daryl Gibson, I think they've finally bought into Daryl Gibson and they're actually starting to implement what he's saying. He's changed a little bit of their ethos and he's got them humming. And a really tough ask for the Hurricanes to go over there. They're in good spirits. They've lost a couple of players, as you rightly say. I mean, Blake Thompson, I think, is a massive loss. No one, I don't think people appreciate the versatility of this man.
Yeah.
And but with Michael Fatialofa and Vaia Fifita, what a game last week. A lot hinges around these guys. And the great thing is, the defence of the Hurricanes continues to shine, and also the attacking ability of the loose forwards and now the tight forwards. So you can't just mark up on these dangerous backs of the Hurricanes. You have to mark up on them field wide, and this is a huge plus for the Hurricanes.
Vaia Fifita is so funny. It's as if people thought he just crawled out from under a rock. The man's been around for three seasons now. I mean, 2 years ago, he was breaking Gareth Evans' arm in an NPC game against Hawke's Bay. I mean, we've seen the promise of Vaia Fifita, but you're right about one thing. I mean, everyone has a breakthrough game at some stage in their career, and to play the way he did up against the All Black number six, a former All Black number six, and a very good Blues pack, that was quite an astonishing performance from a guy who I don't think fits into the spreadsheet of positional play.
No, he does not. He's got the roaming commission and he's really effective at it. Two or three years ago, there was talk of moving him out to the wing to make him a, yeah, you know, like the old Lalani Coco and the Jonah Lomu sort of move from forwards out to the backs. But I think he'd be wasted out there. He gets a lot of hands on the ball. And I don't know if there's anyone else in New Zealand rugby that could get a double calf cramp 10 metres from the line and score a try. That was incredible.
Beaver Donald. He's been the only one. Look, yeah, the Force will take on the Stormers, and usually this wouldn't be a game that excited too many people outside of Cape Town and Perth. But the fact is, the Stormers have to win this. And the Force have shown all year long that if they're going to lose, it's always in a heartbreaking fashion. The Force could tip the Stormers up here and give the Bulls that glimmer of hope.
Yeah, look, the Force, I think the Force are responsible for the most disappointing team for their home fans and disappointing team for away fans, because they win when they absolutely should not. They're a shambles of a side. They are terribly coached, captained, governed, and then they go out and win a game that they absolutely should not. I just can't get my head around the Force. I'd like to support them. My sister lives in Perth and she says they're a shambles. So if the locals can't figure them out, how can we?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll have much longer to worry about that. The Sharks will take on the Cheetahs. And again, for the Sharks, look, this is a do or die. The Cheetahs could tip them up. They had a win against the Force last week. The Cheetahs, the Sharks got dusted by the Lions. If they don't get the job done here, then they could find once again that they're in a massive clash next week for that last wildcard spot.
Yeah, like local derbies in South Africa, you know, people in New Zealand, Australia probably don't realise how much hatred there is over there. And if the Sharks were away, having to get bonus points and things away from home, I'd say, boy, this is a big task. But they are at home. The Cheetahs will absolutely love to deny the Sharks a win here.
Wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen over the last two or three years, they love to give the ball some air. They want to turn this into a bit of a lottery. They'll throw it round. They'll want 60 points total in the game, and hopefully they get 31 of them. that's going to be their game plan going into this. So this will be a high-speed, high-octane game.
All All right, and finally, Steph, the Juarez will host the Highlanders. Highlanders going over to the Kings, getting the job done there in a late burst, 12 minutes of glory against the Kings, 48-18, the final score. The Juarez beating the Bulls 29-11, as we mentioned at the start of the podcast today, probably their best performance of the season. Are they a chance to destroy the Highlanders' hopes here? Because the Highlanders are on the cusp.
They are on the cusp, and this is one they absolutely have to win. We've got them as about 7-point favourites, Highlanders, which is only one try. And there's been more action in the Dunedin Koru Lounge of players coming and going than they've ever had before. I mean, they've had guys with broken bones, and then they've had to send fully fit guys home because they haven't got enough cover in other positions. It's just a carousel of carnage. And the Highlanders absolutely should win this. But if the Juarez do what they did last week and they get a little bit of a dry ground, they would have taken huge belief from the Bulls, former Super Rugby champions. That's a hell of a scalp for the Juarez. And as I say, the international window looked like it's done them some favours. The Highlanders without some key personnel, yes, they should be too good, but I would not be blown away if the Juarez could sneak a win here.
Perfect, Steffi. Thanks very much, Mark Stafford from the New Zealand TAB, joining us on the Rugby Pass podcast. Today is Thursday, the 7th of June. It's the penultimate round of Super Rugby. Don't miss a minute. Rugbypass.com.